Good morning. It is 9:28. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. And today we're going to be talking with Senator Paul Shimpf. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeff. I appreciate the opportunity to come in with you. It's good to see you again.
It's been a little while since we've had a chance to chat.
It has. We missed a month, and but anyway, I'm in between weeks up in Springfield. We're in the middle of the fall veto session, so I was up there last week, had a week off, and then I'll go back up there this next week coming up, assuming that we don't have a snowstorm that's going to prevent me from getting up there. I think they've revised the weather forecast. It was originally a couple days ago, they were saying like 1 to 3 inches. Now, I think they're revising it down. So, but anyway, it's good to still be in the 618 area code. It's a little bit chilly this morning, but I'm glad to be in the office with you. And this is we're coming up on the Veterans Day weekend, so to speak. Veterans Day is coming up. We also have the Marine Corps birthday coming up. So
that's true.
It's funny. It's everybody. I'm like, no talking about Thanksgiving until we get past the Marine Corps birthday. That's the next big holiday for me. So I do want to wish all my fellow Marines out there a happy birthday coming up.
All right. I'll tell you what, let's throw a break in here and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of these topics. Where you're listening to The People Speak. We'll be right back. 9:35. Welcome back. This is The People Speak. And again, I'm Jeff, and we're talking today with Senator Paul Shimpf and talking about several things coming up. Of course, the veto session in progress.
Veto session is in progress. There's going to be a couple controversial votes, I think, next week. One of the things that I'm watching is there's a push out of Chicago to pass this what they're calling the Fix the Floyd Act, which was a proposal that passed the Illinois House during the regular session, but it's stalled in the Senate. They didn't have enough votes to pass that because a group of us had said we'd be willing to negotiate on this bill, which I think the Floyd is, I'd like to see the Floyd go away personally, mm-hmm. but the major problem I have with this Fix the Floyd Act is that act adds a fingerprint requirement to the Floyd application, which to me is something that I think that is just a huge burden on our constitutional rights. And that, you know, if it comes to a vote, I would be a no on it. I'm watching it closely because the bill's sponsors are still a couple votes short in the Senate. And I think you have to, you know, some people have said, what do you mean, Paul, when you say if it comes to a vote? And what I'm talking about is the party that controls the Senate and the House, for that matter, the Democrats, they will only call stuff for a vote if they think they have the votes to pass it. Legislation, once it's filed in Illinois, is not on autopilot. It only moves if it has the support of either Speaker Madigan in the House or President Cullerton in the Senate. And they're only going to call a bill if they think they have the votes to pass it. So that's why they didn't call it in the Senate at the end of May. That's why they didn't call it the first week of veto session. They think they're a couple votes short right now. So hopefully it stays that way, and hopefully I won't have to cast my no vote on that. But that's something that I'm keeping a very close eye on, because that's something that would really negatively impact our Second Amendment rights down here in Southern Illinois.
So at this point, there is no fingerprint requirement yet.
There's no fingerprint requirement right now, but this Fix the Floyd bill seeks to add that. It also would decrease the duration of the Floyd. Right now, if you have a Floyd, it's issued for 10 years. This bill would decrease the duration to 5 years. You'd have to get a new Floyd card every 5 years, which is a problem. It would also raise the fees associated, which that to me, if I can make that trade off, if I said, you know what, I'll buy off on increasing the fee from maybe $10 to $20 in exchange for none of these other onerous requirements, I would take that deal. Wouldn't be happy about it, but I would take that deal to make the fingerprint requirement go away. So that's something that I'm watching. The other thing that I've gotten a lot of information on, a lot of constituents are very concerned about it, is The governor has a proposal to consolidate local pension funds. This is something where we have a lot of different downstate police and firefighter pension funds. The governor's pension task force has proposed consolidating those, merging those with other pension funds statewide, and basically take away control of these local pension funds from the local boards of trustees and merge them into a big group. And the idea behind that, which I understand the idea behind it, is that you would, you know, if you have a larger fund that you're investing, mm-hmm. you can have access to higher yield investments and make more money. It also would reduce the administrative costs that are associated with all these local funds. The concern I have, though, is, you know, who really trusts the state of Illinois at this point to take more control over right. some of these local funds? And then also, the state of Illinois has a propensity that I've seen to really engage in some politically correct mischief. You know, one of some of the bills that I often vote against are bills that say that we cannot invest, that the state of Illinois cannot invest in, you know, what progressives in Chicago think are the wrong kind of companies, saying mm-hmm. that you cannot invest state funds in coal companies or companies that have fossil fuels. So I'm, you know, that tendency to do that with state resources makes me skeptical of giving more control of stuff to the state. I do realize that there may be some reasons behind it, but if this comes up for a vote in veto session, I will vote no in veto session, just because something that like this, that is a really monumental proposal, I think needs to go through the regular legislative process. It shouldn't be something that right. the governor's pension task force comes out with a recommendation and then 3 weeks later we're voting it into law during fall veto session. It needs to go through the regular committee process, and let's really slow it down and make sure we know the pros and cons of this proposal. So
right. it's impossible to know all the different things that's going to be affected and how it's going to work, you know, as far as in that short of time.
That's like, what's the rush? You know, right. if this is really such a good idea, let's slow it down and make sure everybody knows what the facts are. So mm-hmm. definitely be watching those two big legislative proposals during yeah. the veto session.
You always hate to do that, you know. Boy, wow, I wish I would have thought about that a little more, you know.
Well, one of the things, too, that I've learned since I've been in politics is, you know, when you hear politicians talking about this is an emergency or we need to move on this as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. usually that's not a good idea. You know, there's something to be said for the wheels of government turning slowly.
True. So the veto session continues till
it'll be next week, and then we're in theory done for the calendar year, unless the governor were to call a special session. I'm not hearing any rumblings about a special session. I just think, you know, what's going to gradually kind of take up the oxygen in the room is the debate about what kind of tax structure we're going to have in Illinois going forward. And now that this the proposal to put this on the ballot has passed the General Assembly, I can't really advocate one way or another. I'm prohibited from doing that. Mm-hmm. But the next election coming up, we will have a constitutional amendment asking voters to basically omit a constitutional provision right now that requires that our state have a flat income tax rate, meaning that the same income tax rate is charged for everybody regardless of your income. It doesn't mean that, if everybody pays the same tax rate, the wealthy are still paying more, because if you make twice as much money, you're paying twice as much tax. Mm-hmm. But what the constitutional amendment would do is it would just delete that line of the Constitution requiring a flat tax, and they would be able to charge different tax rates based on what your income is.
Okay. All right. So, you know, several things that's going on, you know, as far as, you know, talks going on and everything. It's like you said, there's something to things, especially in the government, wheels turning a little bit slower than, you know, normally, you know, like people like to get things moving, but, you know, sometimes you got to stop and, you know, make sure everything, all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed, and everyone's on board, and things look like they're going to work, you know.
It is, and, you know, really, you know, when we're rushing legislation through, a lot of times we're losing perspective and missing out on the big picture. And really, to me, one of the things that was significant about a week ago news-wise, and it didn't get a whole heck of a lot of play, but the governor's Office of Management and Budget put out some predictions about, you know, what the financial state of Illinois is going to be. And this year we did have a balanced budget, but I didn't vote for it, and I think that the numbers that just came out, this forecast that just came out, really validates my no vote, because they are forecasting a budget deficit for next year of, they're already predicting a deficit of $1.8 billion for the next year. And then 2 years out, you know, the deficit climbs to $2.4 billion. And the reason for that is a lot of the budget items we have, like pensions and now K through 12 education, are automatically increasing as the years go on. This is something, the way that funding works is it's written into the budget that the levels are going to, written into law that the levels are going to, the funding levels are going to keep increasing. So to me, it's a huge problem that we're looking at budget deficits, structural budget deficits of $1.8 billion next year and $2.4 billion the following year. You know, and this is on a statewide budget that's about $40.5 billion worth of income coming in. There's a video that goes around from time to time on Facebook where it's, you know, two gazelles in Africa that have their horns locked and they're fighting each other, and you see a lion just running at them from the distance, and they're oblivious to the danger that's coming. Well, the danger that's coming in Illinois, the problem is not the format of our taxing, whether we use a progressive or a flat income tax rate. The lion that's coming to devour our budget is the fact that we can't stop spending. We have an insatiable desire to increase spending in this state. And it was a mistake in this past budget that we had record revenues coming in, and we spent practically every last dime of the record revenue that was coming in because the economy was going well. So we had a huge amount of revenue coming in. And what did we do? We raised all of our discretionary spending across the board. We didn't really make a huge dent in the bill backlog. We didn't cut spending when we could have, and now we're facing future structural budget deficits, you know, that are about $2 billion and increasing as the years go on.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, let's take a quick break here, and we'll come back and talk some more with Senator Schimpf here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, talking today with Senator Paul Schimpf. And one thing we mentioned a little bit earlier, Monday is Veterans Day.
It is. And I'm grateful that we have a national holiday that celebrates our veterans. The one thing that I always say, being a veteran myself, I was in for 24 years. I think if we're going to honor our veterans the right way, I think we need to have kind of like two things in mind. And first of all, there's no one correct way to honor veterans, whether you do it, by offering them free meals or just saying thank you for your service, or if you want to march in a Veterans Day parade or something like that. There's no one right way to honor our veterans. But if you are going to honor them, I think you need to have two things in mind. First, I think you need an understanding of why people put on the uniform and serve their country. Too often, some people think that military service is transactional in nature, that, you know, I'm serving my country because I want to get an education or I need a job. And, you know, those may be benefits, you know, but, you know, if you think that somebody is only serving their country because they're doing it, you know, to get something out of it, you know, that belief really kind of misunderstands the notion of service. I mean, there may be benefits associated with being in the military, but the bottom line is, if you wear the uniform, you're doing it because you believe your family, your friends, your community, and your country are all worth fighting and dying for. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand that that's why people wear the uniform. So I think it's important to understand that. And then I think it's also important to understand that it's not enough to just, you know, say thank you one day a year. Really, if somebody gives you a gift, saying thank you is not enough. Sometimes a gift requires action. And the best example I can give of this is if you're a parent and you're paying the big bucks to send your son or daughter to college, it's not really, if they're truly thankful, they're not just going to say thank you. They're going to work hard and they're going to use that gift that you've given them to get a good education. You know, if they say thank you and then just drink themselves out of college, you know, party their way out of college and waste your money, mm-hmm. they're not thankful. So, you know, thanks, you know, sometimes saying thank you requires action. And with our veterans, it's the same thing. In addition to saying thank you, we need to make a commitment that, you know, this country that they're serving, the sacrifice that they're making is worthy of their sacrifice. So, mm-hmm. you know, we need to remain engaged, you know, in our civic duties. You know, we can't just say, oh, I'm not going to worry about what's going on. I'm only going to take care of myself. You know, we need to donate to charity, but we need to be actively involved in our government to make sure that, you know, that we're doing our part to make, you know, make America the shining city on a hill, you know, that it really is the beacon of freedom for the world. So, you know, Veterans Day, you know, it shouldn't be just one day a year. Veterans Day, you know, we need to thank our veterans with the commitment to this country really every day. So that's why Veterans Day is important. And, you know, I'm glad to see that we're celebrating it. The other thing that I do want to mention before we run out of time is, you know, I've had a series of what we've called coffee and conversations throughout the district. We do have one scheduled for tomorrow morning, Saturday, November 9th. That's going to be in Chester. Mm-hmm. It's at the Muddy River Coffee. Mayor Page and I, the Chester mayor, we're going to just make ourselves available. It's very informal. It's not like a town hall where you have to sit down and, you know, listen to politicians talk for a couple hours. I mean, that's not a good way to start your Saturday, but this is something where if you want to come by, mm-hmm. you know, share a cup of coffee with the mayor and I, you know, let us know if there's something on your mind, something that you're not happy about, something that you are happy about. You know, this is an opportunity to talk with us. And mm-hmm. I really think that, you know, listening to my constituents, you know, hearing from my constituents makes me a better state senator. So I really enjoy these types of sessions. And I think this is the last one we're going to have this year, but that's, you know, tomorrow morning, Saturday, November 9th, night from 9 to 10:30 a.m. It's not a whole time block. You can just come in, you know, say hi and move on with your day if you want, but that's going to be in Chester at the Muddy River Coffee.
You know, you had one point there. You said, you know, or if you, something they like, you know, a lot of people tend to think, you know, well, I don't have anything to complain about, so I don't need to go or whatever, but I really think they did a good job with this. Well, I mean, I'm sure you like to hear that, you know, people know that something you did, you know, was pleasing to them, that they think it was a good idea.
Well, it just, one of the challenges that we have in Springfield is, you know, a lot of us are representing pretty large geographic areas with a lot of different equities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not naive enough to think that I know everything there is to know about the 58th Senate District. You know, so, you know, if you can educate me on something, on why this was important to your community or why you think this is a good idea, you know, that's something that I, you know, that's the feedback that I really do welcome.
Right. All right, Senator. Well, looks like we're about out of time.
But, we got the music going, but, I do appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk with you. I'd like to wish everybody, all of our veterans out there, and, you know, happy birthday to the Marines and happy Veterans Day to those who have worn the uniform, and have a great weekend.
All right. That'll wrap things up here on The People Speak. I'm Jeff. We will talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.